thinking about buying or selling a house, or just want to know what might be going on with one of your biggest investments, then come hang out with us for a little while. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall, and welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, Eric Bloomstrand, Chad Preby with Bell Bank Mortgage, and James Tolson with Country Financial. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 651-303-0019. Happy to help you out with any of your real estate questions or needs. You can also check us out online at BricksTwinCities.com for the latest and greatest home searching and researching tools. We got some great publications up there. We have the release of our new home seller book. I don't think that's quite uploaded there yet, but if you're listening to this, well, call that phone number, the 651-303-0019. I can email you out a copy. We gave away a few copies last week. They're free, so why not take them? Follow us on our Facebook page where you can watch us record live most Tuesdays around noon, except for today we're recording on Monday. All right, so today we're going to be talking about the home buying process. Never have done this show all the way through. I've done bits and pieces of the home buying process, but wanted to kind of walk a buyer through what to expect and the timelines. I would like to welcome some people who have to deal with me on a daily basis. Most of the House Geeks team. So I got Carly Mackey. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And Ben Greilinger. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So I wanted to just kind of break this process down. So the first thing is a home buyer should expect to spend about 3 months in the process of properly looking for a home. If you are, my lease is up in a month, I need to find a house, it's too late. All right? Get that month-to-month lease. Yes, I know it's probably $200 more a month, but well worth it. Buy yourself that time.
It gives you that flexibility to, if you need to go an extra month, you can. You don't have to rush.
Right. And don't fall in that lease roulette game. I mean, that's the problem when you do those year-long leases that you end up, okay, well, I didn't find anything this spring market because it was too fast and I couldn't wait until summer because I didn't do a month-to-month lease. I mean, the whole thing breaks down to, number one, don't rush. I mean, Carly, you this weekend got to deal with a situation where a person tried to rush this process. And how did that play out?
So my client, she fell in love with the townhouse. It was great. We went and looked at it. We put in an offer. The issue is that we put in a cash contingent offer. She needed to sell her house to get this townhouse. And she ended up feeling overwhelmed, way too rushed, even though her house was ready. It just...
There's a lot of things to... I mean, you have the photo prep, mm-hmm. right? And you have, just having the time to get the photos done and back, right? So, I mean, a 5-day timeline is pretty tight.
It was tight,
right?
And
you know, and now you're exploring the option of maybe just selling first,
right? That's exactly where we're at,
and that's going to put yourself in that, you know, giving you the edge, right? When you're coming in contingent. Like you have everything going against you.
Exactly.
Right? And you're rushing. So what was happening is she was trying to make a process that should be 3 months last a week.
Less than a week.
Right. And that is going to be a lot of pressure. So you want to give yourself that time. So the first thing that you want to do is set up a time to meet with your agent and loan officer. Obviously, in that situation, there wasn't a loan officer. But sit down with your agent ahead of time and start talking about, what are your goals, mm-hmm. right? It's so easy to fall into the app trap, right? Oh, found this listing on here.
Yeah. These pictures look great.
Yeah, awesome. Let's go look at it, right? Doesn't usually end well. If we call that the shotgun approach. Anybody who listens to the show knows that. So I'm not going to drill this too long on that. We are going to, after the show, if you're watching on Facebook, we do our after show. We're going to talk about some of these mistakes and maybe talk a little bit more about that. But, don't fall into the app trap. Set up a time with your agent to talk about your search and get appropriate searches set up.
And it's so important for your agent or the agent and the loan officer to communicate effectively as well, because it's kind of like a triangle approach, you know, three parties, you know, buyer, agent, loan officer, and they all kind of need to be on the same page.
Yeah, it's very, very important. Okay, so the first thing you want to do at that meeting or after that meeting is setting up your searches, Okay, this is going to be done with probably non-app tools for the most part, okay? Because the way I like to put it is imagine our MLS system almost like an E-Trade or something. You're setting it up to identify and notify you when something very specific happens. And most people's buying searches, and we'll talk about that in a second, are very specific. It's not this flowing search that it's, I'm here. That is the app trap, right? If you're doing that, you're trying to spend too much time looking at the wrong homes while the right homes may be selling. Mm-hmm. You're over in Maplewood when you really want to be in Richfield, right? Mm-hmm. And the only reason you're doing that is because you feel there isn't enough. It's not about finding the most homes. It's about finding the right homes. So you're going to set up these surgical searches, and then you're going to want to work on setting up exploratory showings. Now, your exploratory showings are going to start out being kind of based loosely on a priority checklist, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Carly, you just went through the home buying process.
We did, yes.
So, you know, what did you find were like some of the most important things to you?
Right. So our number one for sure was price. We had a budget and a limit to what we could put an offer in for. Next was condition. My husband is not handy, unfortunately.
I remember those conversations. Right. I had to come over to your house and do some work.
Yeah. So the house that we currently own is a very cute 1950s Rambler. We moved in thinking that we could renovate the kitchen ourselves, that we could renovate the bathrooms ourselves. Turns out we can't. So condition was definitely, it was number two. We needed something totally move-in ready. We can just, you know, maybe some paint in the future, and that's it. Right. And then after that, size. We needed four bedrooms. We have three children.
And then you ended up making, because that price was so important to you, you sacrificed on what?
Location.
Right? And that's the thing. You're always going to have a sacrifice. So doing that priority checklist is important. And the reason for the exploratory set of showings is not everybody knows their priority checklist yet. If you're new to this process, no, maybe you don't know what size is important. You don't know what neighborhoods are important.
You don't know which layouts you don't care for.
Right.
I don't like a bi-level split where you walk in, you have a little square where you can throw off your shoes, and you have to walk either immediately up or down. That's not my jam.
Well, and overall, I'm not saying that every buyer is this way, but I mean, even myself, I'll hear the line, oh, we're not picky. And that's just not true. Mm-hmm. And you should be picky.
You should be.
Right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are going to look and look and look and look and look and never find. You have an idea of what your dream home is, or what at least that first home or whatever move you're making, you have an idea.
Exactly.
And you just want to be honest with yourself and lay that out. That's going to help with that process.
You got to think about your must-haves and your deal breakers in an honest fashion and really just dig deep and figure those out. And it will evolve a little bit as you go along the buying process. But
well, I always say that building that search out, it's like you have your criteria, and then maybe you expand on your thoughts a little bit. And then you narrow in super tight after your exploratory sets.
Right.
And the whole idea of the exploratory set is probably going to be one to two times out, and you're going to look at all the different layouts for that area that you're looking. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the next time you're looking in a different area, you're going to look at those layouts and those price points if they're different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just very, very critical. Here's the thing is you may end up, especially if you are honest with yourself up front, and if you have done open houses already, more power to you. It's not something you need to do ahead of time, but if you've done some exploring, you may already know your priority checklist.
Right.
I would say it's still good to do an exploratory set because you may discover some things that you hadn't seen. But if you are kind of narrowed in already, it's possible you go out on your first or second set and you find the home that you like. That's okay. That's actually normal. Many buyers find a home they like within the first five houses once they've done their priority checklist,
mm-hmm.
right? And really narrowed in on that. And it's not rushing it. I mean, think about it. I don't think I've ever test driven more than five cars before I bought one. Usually it's one or two, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't take long for you to know that you're comfortable with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about making an offer. This is a big step in the process, but what to expect? What are the response timelines? You know, what are appropriate expectations? How much can you negotiate potentially? We'll talk about all that fun stuff. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. Who do we trust to help with our mortgages? It's Eric Bloomstrand and Chad Preby with Bell Bank Mortgage. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. If you're looking for great service, many loan options to choose from, and competitive pricing, give Eric and Chad a call at 651-207-9274. Again, that is 651-207-9274. NMLS numbers 274211 and 1462493.
My clothing is falling apart, my stuff's in a van, I have to rent storage space, and that will cost money I don't plan on spending, and the sellers are threatening to sue. My loan officer never called much, so I thought things were fine. Now I have to start over.
Avoid costly last-minute disasters by choosing an experienced local loan officer. Call iLoan at 877-373-4467 or visit iLoanHomeMortgage.com. iLoan Home Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 4474.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting homebuyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Sometimes, when you have more questions than answers about insurance and financial services, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. At Country Financial, we know that every situation is unique and believe that even the biggest goals start with simple steps. So when it comes to protecting the things you love and planning for the future, don't get overwhelmed. Get started with Country Financial. Contact James Tovson today at 651-365-3408.
You're listening to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show on AM 950. Today we are talking about the home buying process and timelines to expect as you're getting out there starting this process. Part of things on timelines, real quick, is you want to be honest with yourself, especially if you have a lease that you need to get out of, that might play or let end or whatever's happening, that you want to think about that, give yourself plenty of time ahead of time, but also that may be determining your closing dates. Now, one thing to remember, if you have a mortgage or are going to be getting a mortgage, is a lot of people are worried about overlapping rents and mortgage payments. You will have between a month and 2 months after your closing date before your first payment ever hits. Use that time wisely. Like with my move, what I did was closed a month before I needed to be out of my other place. So that way I had a month to move. Mm-hmm. That's way less stressful than one day or a couple of days, especially if a closing date gets moved. So
schedule movers and cleaning.
And that's all in the making an offer, which we're going to get into in 1 second. Okay, so you're doing the exploratory set. You are narrowing in on homes you like. You find a home that you like. Make sure you're doing an extensive walk around, right? I carry a checklist. We all carry a checklist with us of things to look for conditionally. So there aren't any major surprises, hopefully, on the inspection report. It's just more verification. And if there are major surprises that come up, well, you made your offer based on everything that you knew. You weren't just going blind into it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, look at the age of the furnace, look at the roof, you know, look at the windows, just take a peek. It's not just about the cosmetics. It's about the functionality of the house itself.
Yeah, definitely. When I go see places with clients, it's usually I have them focus on the flow of the spaces and the lighting and all that stuff, and where I really try to focus in on those bigger ticket items, you know, the foundation, the mechanicals, plumbing, just trying to see if there's any big red flags right away before they get, you know, fall in love with it.
Right. I mean, you I've had it happen. You walk in, we love this house. Yeah, the foundation's got a giant crack. Yeah. Big. This is a problem.
Yeah, there's a river running down.
Do you love it now?
There's mold in the base. Okay, so, all right, you do your walk around. Place looks good. You want to make an offer. Okay, first of all, you're not going to be 100% sure. If you are thinking you're going to be 100% sure, you're kidding yourself, and you're not going to be 100% sure later, and then you're going to be doubting your decision. And when your decision could have actually been a good decision. So if you're 70% sure or there, that's offer time. You get to 100% by thinking about it. I mean, you're not even going to give yourself a chance if you wait until you're 100% mm-hmm. because somebody else is going to buy it, right? Mm-hmm. We are not in a pre-inspection state, and that's for good reasons. You want to know that you actually have the property before you spend money on a home buyer inspection. So offer time comes first, and what you want to make sure you do before you start putting pen to paper is do an evaluation of that property as far as not just the condition that we were talking about, but value, or you and your agent, I should say, right? There's a lot of great tools, the AVM, the RPR, doing a full CMA, comparative market analysis. I use all three of those tools when determining value, okay? The Zestimate is not the end-all be-all. No. I've seen them be off by $100,000. And we'll talk about appraisals and what do those mean, but there are these automated evaluation tools out there, and you got to be careful. They're good and interesting data points, but this is not what you're making your decision to make an offer on. I mean, if you are, it's probably going to end up wrong a majority of the time. Now, one thing I do think is kind of cool, if you look at those evaluation tools, if you click into them farther, they have a value range. Now, I said I've seen those being off by $100,000 before, but it's amazing how often the property does actually fall into the range of value that's established in those. Mm-hmm. So, again, they're good data points, but to get the true accurate evaluation, you focus in on that CMA right down to the neighborhood, figure mm-hmm. that stuff out. Okay, so you figure out the value, you know your timeline, so you're going to pick your closing date here. You know, think about this. Don't just let your realtor throw out a date and you'd be like, okay, because you don't want to come back a week later after you negotiated, oh, I actually need to close on the X. You can't do that easily. Right. Mm-hmm. You now have to do an amendment. You have this ball rolling with many people involved mm-hmm. trying to get those timelines met. So, you know, that closing date that's established at the time of purchase agreement really is a goal. And so you want to think about that and put some thought into that timeline before just making the offer.
Yeah, I always try to get my clients, buyers, to be as flexible as possible with closing, because that helps the offer. And
oh, yeah,
sellers,
you can definitely negotiate.
You know, keeps them flexible, too. So,
well, and that's the thing about negotiation. I get this question all the time, and it's amazing when it comes up. It's like, hey, I saw this house online. How much do you think we can get off of it? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't been out to it. I don't know what has been done to it. I could see online that it has furniture and it looks like somebody's living there. I get there and then it's empty. It's vacant. My knowledge of motivations just completely changed. Therefore, my evaluation would change. And if you look at what homes sell for, especially this time of year right now, I mean, I have a listing on the market. I'm thinking I'm at five or six offers already. It's been on the market 3 days. It's going to go for a fair amount over asking probably. That, you know, how can you know this without establishing these things to see kind of what the activity, how many cards were on the table when you showed up at the showing, how many people were there? You need to know these pieces of the pie. So negotiation, yes, we want to get you the best price possible. But and we also don't want you to overpay, right? And we're going to be honest, and sometimes not overpaying means letting properties go, right? Unless you absolutely love it and it fits within, hey, I'm willing to be flexible here. But that goes back to that evaluation piece. Mm-hmm. Okay, inspection contingency. So the offer, you make the offer, you're probably going to hear back whether you get it within a few hours to maybe, 48 hours, 72 hours, something like that, yeah. Depending if it's like in multiples and there's a highest and best or something like that. So usually you're going to hear back on your offer relatively quick unless it's one of those multiple offer situations. But then you go into this inspection timeline.
You hear back and it's either going to be no, yes, or a counter.
Right. So yeah. No, yes, or a counter. You get to decide if it's worth it, if it's a counter. If it's a no, well, I always say to establish that value, think about it as, if you were to be told no, how would you feel? If you would feel mad, oh, I should have gone up by $500, do that now. Yep. If not, and it would be like, well, I did the best I could, there you go. That's the price. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have the inspection contingency timeline. This, again, you set within the offer. And usually I say put the inspection maybe midway through that timeline, so you have a couple days to think about this house that you just had accepted before you're going to pay for this inspection to be done. And then at the inspection, you're going to have it done. Usually they'll have the report out to you later that day. And it's after you get that report you want to talk with your agent about what things you might want to address. You want to keep your list probably to 3 to 5 category or items. Otherwise, the seller is going to start knocking things off that they don't want to do. If you keep it to a concise life safety item list, they're probably going to agree to all of those items. And it tends to be those life safety items are the more expensive fixes than maybe some of the other stuff that you might be seeing on that report. And it's also common to see, 25, 30 minimal items and maybe 4 or 5 hazardous on any inspection report. That's completely normal. Okay, appraisal is going to happen right after the inspection usually. Mm-hmm. The appraisal is just a verification of risk to the bank. Okay, keep that in mind. That is not market value. If you were in multiple offers and you were the winner and it was very close, that's market value. The market is saying you're in that range. Okay, so you get the appraisal back. Now you're going to go to pre-closing timeline. You're going to want to switch over your utilities. Your closing date or time is established during this period of time, so a specific time that you're going to close. And then on closing day, you're going to do a final walkthrough, and this is so you can see in case any last-minute issues showed up. One time I found a tree laying on a house when I showed up for a final walkthrough. So you want to make sure you know about anything that might be happening ahead of time, and then at the closing, just make sure you have your driver's license and the cashier's check for down payment if you're doing financing, and get ready to sign a lot of paperwork. Yep. That is the home buying process in 20 minutes. All right. Thank you for listening to us. If you have any questions, give us a call, 651-303-0019. Again, 651-303-0019. We'll be back next week.